Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and my guest, Jeff Harris, that we had scheduled today. It must be stuck in traffic or something, and we're hoping he's going to be able to make the show. But otherwise, what we're going to do is open up the phone lines this afternoon. So if you want to call in and chat with me, you can call 888-815-9756. So regrettably, Jeff, I have not been able to reach you, Mr. Jeff Harris. And we were going to be talking about money, which is always of interest to us, but that's okay. We'll probably be having him on at another time. So meanwhile, because we've not been able to reach our guest, then phone lines are open, 888-815-9756, 815-9756. Well, I wanted to start off with a little bit of a quote today. And this is one that I'm very fond of. Nobody knows who wrote this, but this is how it reads. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing our true self. To place your ideas, your dreams, before the crowd is to risk loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try it all is to risk failure. It really is important, I think, to be understanding of the fact that there's no such thing as absolute security in life, financially or on any other level. And so often, we get into our little boxes of thinking, feeling that we want to be safe. We just don't want to take any chances because if we take chances, we might fail. Well, if you don't fail, you'll never know what you're capable of exploring, achieving. You'll never know about the greatness that's inside of you. So when you can look at life sort of like you would the number 5 level of White River Rapids, and you do the best that you can to prepare for it, but understand sometimes you just got to ride the white. That's all you can do. And every once in a while you might get tossed into icy cold waters of discomfort. That's all right. If you hang tough, hang tight, you're going to be able to make it through until the waters become quieter. It's so important, I think, for us to not assume that we are owed anything. It's not good to assume that life is fair. It isn't. What is a good positioning to be in is one of self-respect, self-appreciation, and a willingness to dare to be your own individual self and to dare to explore what it is you want to do. Someone also said, even so, the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing, because the person who risks nothing, accomplishes nothing, has nothing, feels nothing, and in the end becomes nothing. So don't be afraid. It's good to have mentors. It's good to have people that you can brainstorm with. But remember, you're the only one that can live your life. And if your life is worth living, then you're really going to want to do something that is going to be uniquely you. Now, this prompted a lot of thinking on my part because I was having a conversation with someone just a short time ago, and they were very upset because their kids said, we're entitled. And they said, you're entitled to what? Well, you have this, you have that, you have the other. And by golly, we should be getting it. Now, the parents aren't even gone, and they're far from being old. And here are the young people in the family with the attitude that things should be divvied up sooner rather than later. And they want to know what their inheritance is going to be. And this isn't an especially wealthy family. They're very comfortable. But the mom was really very disturbed with these attitudes. So she and her husband decided they weren't going to leave anything to the kids. They were going to go and do what they wanted to do, and they were going to enjoy their lives to the best of their capacities. So they're one of those that have on the back where they're spending their retirement funds. And I think it's important that no matter what our age is, to understand if life graces us with unexpected blessings and bonuses, great, be a good custodian. But understand you really are going to have to earn what you get in life, one way or the other. But sometimes you can do things because something requires doing. And I wanted to share this story with you. Murray Spangler was a man. He worked as a janitor. And we usually don't think very much of janitors. They're sort of those people we ignore. They're very, very important people on so many levels, because if you don't have a good janitor, you're really going to have a messy place. Well, he was so bored with his job. Let's face it, it's not exciting. You're doing the same thing night after night, week in, week out. And basically, at the time, he was sweeping floors. He wanted to find a more innovative way to do his work. Now, when he was doing his job, he would wheeze, he'd cough, he'd say, oh, this is terrible, there's got to be a better way. He had the thought, why can't I get rid of a broom? Then another thought followed that first one. Maybe there's another way to get the dust up. Another thought followed that one. Wouldn't it be neat if you could suck the dust up where it wouldn't be on the floor anymore? And he wouldn't sneeze. Well, his questions created for him a level of curiosity. And he decided that he'd go into his workshop at home in his own time and on his own, with his own initiative. And he decided he wanted to have some kind of a cleaner, a vacuum cleaner. Now, what he did, he decided that when he was doing this, that things were coming along pretty good, so he sought out an old friend. Now, this friend had been in the leather business, and he wanted the manufacturing of his invention to be financed by this friend. Now, this friend, his name was H.W. Hoover. Yep, and you probably can figure the rest of it out. Hoover vacuum cleaners obviously became very popular. And hoovering became, at least for one generation, synonymous with sweeping floors. Technology advances because someone says, I don't like what I'm dealing with. What can I do to make it better? When you think of the women in the 1800s and before, if they wanted to clean a rug, they'd have to have someone help them, if the rug was a really big one, put it outside during the springtime of the year. You couldn't do anything until the weather got nice. And then you'd have to beat the heck out of it. Can't you just see yourself, ladies, doing that every week? Oh, yes. Wouldn't that be exciting? Today, we have vacuum cleaners that have water filters, that have all kinds of filters, that allow us to pick up dirt and dust that comes in every single day. And we're able to keep our homes a lot cleaner. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned vacuum to really pick up everything. Mops are great. And, you know, dust things are wonderful, but when you're ready to wash a floor, you always want to make sure you vacuum it first, vacuum it thoroughly, so you get all the dirt up. And then you go after it. But it's amazing. We take so much of this for granted. We really, really do. But it was all because of one man whose job was sweeping floors, who said, I want to do something that's better. I don't like the way this is turning out. So for some of you, perhaps, maybe you are in a situation where your job, your career is changing. Why not look for something? Ask yourself, what is it around you in your life that you could make a little bit better? What is it that you could do that could make life a more enjoyable experience? It never hurts to ask. You might be one of the next major inventors of something that is going to make people's lives a lot better. I'd like for one of you to come up with a self-cleaning house myself. I really like that idea. This is Donna Sebo. Jeff Harris, my guest, that was scheduled for today. We have not been able to reach him, so we now have an open mic hour. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Today's world is a challenging one. We will, when we listen to the news or we hear interviews, it is such a doomsday level that I really think the American spirit for entrepreneurship must be encouraged, and I want to say go for it. I came across some very good information by a gentleman, Rich Sloan, and he, like me, really wants to see people become innovative and to look at life's changes as opportunities, not as setbacks. And it means that you shift your thinking, you empower yourself, and you recognize that you are in charge of who you are, how you're thinking, and what you're doing. So Startup Nation is a website for entrepreneurs. And I thought I would mention something about it today because some of the best success stories come about because of difficult times. And that's been historically very, very true, and it's going to be historically true even today. When your needs become more urgent, businesses that are aware of the needs of individuals may become the next multimillionaire or specialized business on the internet or otherwise that's going to enable people to say, you're taking care of my needs and I'll support you with my buying of your product or services. Also, when you're starting up a business, in times like this, so many people have been laid off of work because many companies have been cutting back, you may be able to find some really talented people that are going to be happy to work and are going to be able to negotiate on what they expect to be paid. You know, it takes good people to make good companies. This could give you a leading edge. And today, it actually is less expensive than ever before to get a business off the ground. There's all kinds of deals and discounts you can check out. And also, with the technology we have today, you can really be doing something within a very short period of time, and it can fit within a very reasonable, you know, very reasonable budget. Marketing your business effectively, efficiently can be done inexpensively. Email marketing doesn't cost very much, and it's one of the most direct, immediate, and productive ways to drum up sales. And there's a lot of companies that provide lists and will tell you how you can use those lists so nobody will be considering what you're sending a spam. And you can send people offers, have helpful updates, also online social networking. You know, Twitter, Facebook, there's just so many of them that are developing. And you're going to be able to expand your contacts that way. You might be amazed at what you're going to be able to do and the people that you'll be able to reach. And also, search engine marketing, you'll find that there's a way you can utilize that so people will go to your website quicker than ever before. So, Rich suggested a couple of business formulas. One, he said, look for necessity businesses. These are must-have services. Think healthcare-related businesses, automotive repair, perhaps IT support for residential customers, financial planning, all of the businesses that are required for people to go about their everyday life. You know, we've got an interview that's going to be coming up shortly about blue-collar workers. And by Jove, do you know it's hard to find people to do certain kinds of work that we used to take for granted that just a handyman could do? Well, with technology, a lot of things have become very sophisticated. So we need people that are trained, that are educated, that can deal with the variables in today's world. Also, a lot of people may have specific needs, like maybe fashion accessories. May sound silly, but remember, those people that are working want to look good. Or information resources for discounted items. There's one entrepreneur started a business who provided discounted parking to people who purchased city parking through his site. Who would have thought? He's making good money off of that. Now, there are all kinds of ways, if you haven't yet gotten your own website, that you can do something like that. There's a lot of options for you to work with. Also, if you've put a little cash aside and you say, I really would like to have a going business, but I'd like to consider something like a franchise where I'd have ongoing training, I'd have people that could educate me, this type of thing, well, that is terrific. But you, if you don't have any experience, do your homework on this first. Find out all about that franchise that you might be interested in. Remember, if you really don't like something, don't try to do it. If you love a certain aspect of whatever job you've had or you have an interest that really absolutely grabs your mind and you go, ah, this is what I'd love to do, then that's what you should do. You shouldn't look at those things that really are not right up your alley. But maybe you can find something associated with an area of interest. Let's say you wanted to get into music, you wanted to do recording, or you wanted to do performing. My goodness, there's so many different jobs and so many different positions that are available that you can explore. Maybe you would do some volunteer work or be involved with a business offering to do something on a part-time basis where you could get hands-on learning. There's a lot of ways to be out and about, but if you're that kind of person that really would like to have a business of your own, this is a wonderful time to look at doing exactly that. And if you're, you know, just go on and go onto the internet and find out about some places. There's some information that I had about different franchises that people are really promoting, but just go on and put the word franchise into Google and see what comes up. You're probably going to have 10,001 different items, but just explore, maybe narrow it down. If you're interested in the food industry, if you're interested in clothing, if you're interested in jewelry, if you're interested in health products, there's a lot of items available for that person that is willing to explore and willing to investigate. So whatever you do, don't give up on yourself. Don't feel that this is the end of the world. We've been through recessions before. We've been through depressions before. We're going to make it through this one, too. But it's an opportunity to step out, to be counted, to be that innovative individual that is going to be able to see yourself financially comfortable not so far off in the future. And age doesn't make any difference, either. If you're in your 60s or 70s and you're wanting to generate more income, I was talking with some people just last week who are mature individuals and saying, I can't afford not to work. I've got to be working. Well, get busy. Check things out. You know, if you're a mature individual, you've got a lot to offer people that need steady, dependable workers. So if you really want to be out there, don't be afraid to knock on doors. I had a friend that was running a publishing business at one time, and their 93-year-old mother was in the office before anybody else. And they said, we couldn't do without her. She's just absolutely amazing. She answers the phone. She's got a wonderful disposition. She does some of the paperwork. Mom keeps us all straight in line and hopping. So don't ever think, just because someone's mature, that they cannot do a good job for you. And who knows, you may have find the most dependable employee you could ever have imagined. I know a lady with a restaurant. That's exactly what she's found with a lady who is in her 80s. That is helping her out there. So if you want to work, there's always an opportunity. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Jeff Harris, was not able to make it today. We've not been able to reach him. So if you'd like to call in and chat with me, this is an open mic hour, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about water. Water really is the staff of life. Without it, none of us are going to live for very long, if at all, obviously, if we don't get it. And Lono Hoala is going to be my guest tomorrow. This man is a specialist in understanding how to make water safe, no matter where you are. Don't Drink the Water is the title of his publication. And then on Friday, we are going to have a real spy. That's right. We are going to have a very fine Greek gentleman by the name of Helios Dundulakis. And Helios is a fascinating man because he is now in his 80s. He was trained by the United States government to be a spy in World War II. He was a teenager at the time, as was his brother, and they were both trained to be spies, and his story is going to be made into a movie. Quite a fascinating man, so he's going to be with us on Friday, so I wanted to let you know about that. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like to chat. Telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. This past weekend, we had the opportunity, my husband, me, and a couple of very good friends, to go up to Mount Rainier. And when we were up there, we were just walking all over the place. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if you don't have the right shoes on, by the time you get through with an outdoor excursion in summertime is when you want to be out walking about. Your feet will be just killing you. Or maybe you're a salesperson and you just wonder, what in the world can you do to make your feet feel better? You try all kinds of things. Well, I have some tips from a couple of podiatrists, Paul Langer and Deanna Leitz. They really have some good comments to make, and they are very practical ones. Remember, if your feet hurt, you're going to hurt all over, and you're just going to be miserable. Do you know that more than half of Americans experience aching feet, and 80% of those that want to go in for treatment on their feet are women? 80%. Well, here are a few tips. I've got three of them that I think can help those sore tootsies of yours. One, ladies, for heaven's sakes, don't get shoes too small for your feet. I don't care how cute they are. Make the determined decision that when you're going to put something on your feet, you're going to make sure that they're really comfortable and that they fit you. You don't want to wear them in too small a size. Oh, I know, sometimes we gals get to be a little bit vain. We go, oh, but it's so cute. Yeah, but think about it. If you have to stand in those shoes for a long time, and this is whether it's a tennis shoe or whether it's a high heel, make sure, because feet tend to expand as you get older, make sure to be measured and try them on. And above all, if you're going to be getting tennis shoes, wear those socks that you typically would wear. And I know often when I would do a lot of walking, I would double up on my socks. Well, if you do that when you're in the shoe store, if you're doing something like that, you've got particularly thick socks maybe that you wear when you're doing hiking or walking or any kind of outdoor activity, make sure you wear those when you go in to buy your shoes, because it makes a difference. Now, a lot of women think that they have to give up their high heels. They don't. The key is, if you wear high heels all the time, your muscles adapt to wearing high heels, and then when you wear the shoes that have the lower heels, you go through this adjustment phase. Well, it also goes in reverse as well. If you can put on high heels maybe, once in a while, maybe about 20% of a time, about 2.5 hours a day, and then slip on sneakers, each time you step, you're going to put extra weight on the foot. And a low heel forces all the pressure onto the toes and balls of your feet, and that's what causes all the pain. But if you wear them occasionally and go around with purpose, you're going to find that you're not going to have that pain in the heel, the balls and the balls of the foot, the toes, and also your arches. Very, very important. So sort of mix and match every once in a while so you keep those muscles nice and flexible. And cushy inserts. Oh, boy, I can't talk highly enough about those. My problem is, and you need to let me know if you've found one, I wear them out. I mean, they maybe last for a day, and then after that, there's no more cushion in them. So if you've got something you can recommend, let me know, because I wear inserts out like crazy. Also, you need to remember, elevating your feet or even getting a good foot robe is absolutely marvelous. But I'll tell you something else you can do. And I was taught this years ago, and that is to take like a pop bottle, an old-fashioned Coke bottle, but you know how they have the ridges in them? Well, if you put those under your feet and you just roll a pop bottle that has those little curves and bumps in them, like an old-fashioned Coke bottle, you're going to find that that is a marvelous foot massage unit. Also, you can take a golf ball, if you want, and just force your foot to go over it, and you will just be amazed at how using the golf ball will relax the foot. Women apparently are more likely to suffer from foot problems than the men are. Again, it's because of our vanity and not buying shoes that fit. But if you end up with bunions, you can easily get rid of a bunion lump with a simple, inexpensive set of foam toe spacers. And you can go to sockdoctor.com and find them there. Also, if you have castor oil in your medicine cabinet anywhere, if you will put castor oil on a callus or a bunion, all you need to do is put it on there and secure it with some Band-Aids. Just put the Band-Aids right over the castor oil. Or you could just soak the Band-Aid, the cotton area of the Band-Aid, with the castor oil and put it on whatever area you're wanting to cover. Do you know what? It will actually soften the rough of skin because it's got rinsenolic acid in it, and it breaks down that hardened tissue. Another item I like to use, too, is bag balm. People that have lived on farms know all about that, and that really, really helps. And remember, swollen ankles, that means that you have a tendency to retain water. So what you want to do is get up and move around. A good massage also helps. But also, a cup of dandelion tea. It's a natural diuretic. Most teas are diuretics anyway, but dandelion tea is especially good. It flushes excess water from the body, relieving those swollen feet that you might have. So just a few tips there to make your foot a little bit more comfortable. And boy, it makes a difference. But if you're going to do hiking, if you're going to be out and about like we were this last weekend, make sure you've got good shoes on your feet. When we were climbing around Mount Rainier, there were many areas of surface because of the snow and ice and the water flow that occurs with the melting of the snow. You have some very dangerous areas. And we saw patches of ice, snow and ice, that were still up on Mount Rainier. And there was a little girl that was playing, and she could very easily have gone down the side of the mountain because she was wearing these little plastic clogs, and they're just slick as they can be when you're on snow and ice. So remember, if you're going to be hiking around or doing anything like that, think about the surface of the shoe that you're going to be walking in, because it does make a difference. And good old-fashioned hiking boots can do a lot for creature comforts, also giving a good grip on the ground when you're going across some surfaces that are very, very unstable, uneven, rocky, sandy, that could cause you to slip and fall. And also a good walking stick is a good thing to have, too, if you're going to be hiking around in the mountains. I see a lot of the hikers, when they do that, they've got their backpacks on, their day packs, whatever they're going to be doing, and they do have those walking sticks. It makes it a lot easier, especially when you're on uneven terrain. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in a moment. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. Jeff Harris was not able to join us today. We'll try to get him on another day. Meanwhile, telephone lines are open, and I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. So give me a call again at 888-815-9756. Oh, and for those of you in Washington, don't forget, I have gotten some emails. There's some free passes that have gone out for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and that's going to be held at the Maris Farm in Buckley, Washington. So I encourage you to go to the website, Washington Ren Fair, and don't forget to add the E on F-A-I-R-E so that you're able to get right in there. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have a fabulous time. It's the first three weekends in August, and I have 8 passes left, and these are family passes. So if you're in Washington and you'd like to attend this wonderful event, call me at my office, and that's 800-872-8852, or send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com, and then I'll get that off to you. So some passes have already been mailed out, and one could go to you if you would like to attend this wonderful event that's going on in the first 3 weekends in August. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then, of course, I will be happy to give you my insights. And if you have a special question after I finish, I will be delighted to address that as well. So, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number. What if you had a dream that plagued your waking hours and caused you to feel like you had to do something very, very special, and you just couldn't shake it? Well, Heinrich Schliemann was a gentleman just like that. When he was 7 years old, his father gave him a very special present. It changed his life, changed his thinking, and it had a tremendous impact on archaeology. Now, what Dad gave to Heinrich was an illustrated book about the city of Troy. And the story, of course, inside that book was about how it had been captured by the ancient Greeks. Now, something happened to him. When he read that story, he thought, wow, now he's 7 years old. He thought, I'm going to find this. Now, this was a very poor child. His dad was a pastor, and he had made money only by being able to be a messenger boy for a local grocer. Yet he decided that he was going to teach himself classical Greek, so that he could read Homer's stories as they were originally written. He also knew that he had to make a lot of money. So what he did, though he started out as a grocer's messenger boy, he ended up becoming a merchant. And in his early 40s, he had made so much money, he decided he was going to retire. Now, he went to Greece because he wanted to find a Greek bride. Now, this is an interesting twist to the story. He had an archbishop of Athens find the perfect woman for him. He decided she had to be poor. She needed to be young and beautiful. She must be very devoted in nature. And she needed to know the works of Homer. Talk about some special requirements on this is what I want in a spouse list. He already had his made out. Well, he did. He found a lovely woman, Sophia, who was in her late teens when she was found. Now, when he married her, he was 47 years old, and his bride had the same interest in Homer as he did, acquired 100 workmen, and he said, I'm going to find the site of Troy. Now, he had studied history pretty well, and there was an area, what called Hesalic. It's a 162-foot-high mount. And he said it fit with everything that Homer wrote, and it had ruins. Now, archaeology at the time that he was doing this investigation really wasn't anywhere close to being a science like it is today. And he had not, Heinrich had not, done any kind of, you know, excavations at all. So what his workmen did, which would be abhorrent to archaeologists today, they simply dug a real deep gash into the steep northern face of Hesalic to see what was underneath. Now, before he knew it, he just had a big mess. He found that there were actually 9 separate settlements that had been built, one on top of the other. Then he got to be pretty particular about what he was doing. He kept on digging, and he said, on June 14, 1873, after 2 years of working, they found 8,700 pieces of golden jewelry and a diadem made up of 16,000 pieces of solid gold, which when put on someone's head hung from the brow to the shoulder. He had found the city of Troy. It was so exciting to him. But he wasn't correct. The buried city he had found wasn't Troy, but he had found one older than Troy. It had all of these golden items were from around 2300 BC and had been worn by another princess more than 1,000 years before Helen was born. Now, today, a lot of people believe that Homer's Troy was destroyed about 1200 BC, and they identified it with a third stratum from the top of the dig that Heinrich had found. But he had worked right through its ruin because of the way they did things at that time. Again, not doing it layer by layer as archaeologists do today. The treasure he found belonging to this other time frame and city, he did later on realize the mistake. However, they have given him credit for finding the site of Homer's Troy and for also, obviously, discovering a more ancient city of prehistoric Bronze Age culture as well. You know, isn't that a wonderful legacy to leave? Someone pursuing a passion and finding even more than they had even bargained for. Well, he did go after what he wanted, and he did find it. I just thought I'd share that with you because I think even though that was in 1800, we have so many people today that are finding things that they never thought they would find because they're curious, because they want to explore. So you need to know you can do the same thing. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Also, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and hey, you can even ask me a question if you so desire. Summertime is a time when you want to do as much cooking outside as possible. I've had clients that have told me that wherever they are in the country, it's 100 degrees or more. Well, I've got a recipe for grilled steak fries. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're wonderful. So they're real easy, fast and quick. Fix them on the grill right along with that steak. It'll be the hit of the party or of your dinner. Let's take our first caller for the day. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Jennifer. Middle name is Lynn, and I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Oh, where in Wisconsin, Jennifer?
I'm calling from Green Bay.
Ooh. Yes. You Green Bay fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'd probably throw you out the city if you weren't, right?
Exactly. You have to be.
Okay, Jennifer. Welcome to the show. And first thing that I'm looking at with you is sort of hang loose. And when I say that, it's like the old Hawaiian hand greeting where you tuck your three fingers in and your little finger and your thumb go out and you just sort of waggle it back and forth. It's hang loose. And the reason I'm saying that is that you are such a hard worker that sometimes you need to let go and just relax with what's going on around you. And when you can't do anything else, just say, okay, I'll take a walk. I'll watch a cartoon. I'll do something. But if I can't do anything right now, things just aren't falling into place, I'm going to be busy doing something else or just relaxing. You need to be able to let go periodically and let things flow. Because as efficient as you are, you have had a pattern sometimes of procrastination in certain areas only. But generally, that's not part of your makeup. That's not who you are. So you just need to be patient with yourself. And also remember that some people around you may be a little bit slow on the uptake too. And you just need to realize that they may not hold to your standard of doing things in a timely way, and you need to be okay with that.
Okay.
Let go, let loose, and just relax. Sometimes it's nice, and you can say, well, I can't do anything, so I'm not going to stress myself. I'm not going to get worried about this. I'm going to go have a cup of tea and sit out and watch the birds. I mean, just relax. Take it easy, because, hon, you have got so much on your plate this year. This year has gone by like a blinking of an eye, and you're sitting and looking and saying, I just don't believe this. Before I know it, ho, ho, ho is going to be coming around. How did it happen so fast? It's just because you've got a lot of irons in the fire. So be good to yourself. Take some time to relax. You're going to do your due diligence, but what you can't control, just let it go so that the rhythm and the flow, what I like to call the zone, will come to your space, and then you'll know when to move forward. But hang tough. You're going to be just fine. I'm not worried about you at all. Do you have a question for me?
Well, I was just kind of asked. I was wondering if you see anything with my oldest son. He's been my challenge. He's been he's been where I need to let go a little bit.
Well, how old is he?
He's going to be 20.
Oh my goodness! He's a young man. I know. He's. You always want to sort of grab him by the earlobes and shake their head sometimes. Say, don't you know what I told you? But the truth is, he's pretty level-headed. Why are you so, what's his first name, hon?
His name is Kurt.
Why are you so worried about him? He's adventuresome. This is a kid that would, now he's not a kid, he's a young man. If he could, he'd travel around the world with a backpack on his back, faking it as he goes along. But he is sharp. Why are you so worried about him?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still thinking he's trying to find himself, and he's
of course.
It just seems like he doesn't have very much direction at this moment, and I don't know. I guess I keep thinking he's made it this far, so.
Well, give me a
specific. Something's gonna click sooner or later, I'm hoping.
Well, what is it that you, because I don't see a problem with him. I really don't. I think that this is a very normal pattern for him. He really needs to be able to explore. He is not going to really find his aha until about 34, 35.
Oh, my.
So right now, the biggest thing is for him to become aware of financial responsibility.
That's
and
the problem.
Well, then you don't pay his bills. He's 20 years old. He's got to stand on his own 2 feet. If he wants to live at home, then he's going to pay rent. Or he's going to do something that is going to give a position of responsibility. You can't treat him like a little boy because he's not. He's a young man. And there's a big difference here. But what is it that's What is he doing for work right now? He's not really college material, as I look at it. Has he wanted to go to school? What's on his mind?
Well, we had a hard time getting him through high school. He's in food serving right now, so he works for a local restaurant, and he's gone through jobs and.
Okay, Jennifer, I've got to take a break, hon. Stay on the line with me, all right?
Sure.
Stay on the line. We'll come back. This is Donna Siebel. We're talking with Jennifer Lynn in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're going to be coming back chatting with her, and if you'd like to chat with me, 888-815-9756. We're going to be coming right back, Jennifer. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, quickly, before I go back to Jennifer Lynn, if you're in the state of Washington and you would like to get a free family pass where you can take Aunt Jane, Uncle Harry, the baby, the dog, whatever you want to do, to the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair, I want you to either call my office, because I have 8 free passes left for families, and or you can send me an email, Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com, and mention the Donna Siebel Show and free ticket for Ren Fair. Just put something in the subject line so that I can recognize it, and that ticket will go out in the mail to you. This is for the event that's happening the first 3 weekends in August. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, WashingtonRenFair.com. Jennifer, let me ask you a question, because we were talking about your son, and as I said, I'm really not too worried about him. Now, he's in the food industry. I'm not looking at him being excited about the food industry. When he's tried different jobs, has he found anything that really grabbed his imagination at any one point? Was there anything that you recall that he really got excited about? Because I see him liking to work with his hands, and he's got a gift of gab that just won't quit.
He where he's at right now is probably his favorite one that he's had so far, and it's at a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he didn't like any of his other jobs, so... And he does like to do things with his hands. You're very correct on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hands-on type of a person.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to see him do and what I would recommend, because your son is intelligent. He's not stupid, and he's not slow. He is someone that is not unlike the way members of my own family were. They had a knack for craftsmanship. They had a knack of being able to build with their hands. And I think of my grandfather, who was a master craftsman and didn't get more than a third grade education. But it is finding the niche that he's really going to enjoy. So working at the pizza place, I think what you're going to find is one of the things that he enjoys about it is the interaction with people. It gives him a chance to meet girls and things like this. But there's areas of interest relative to the environment there that he finds interesting. And I think he's got a sales capacity that he's never felt was that big a deal. People like him. He's got a very pleasant way about himself that people really enjoy. So I'd like to see him take a vocational aptitude test. And this is something, it's not IQ. It's all dealing with interest areas, and there's Strong Campbell and there's others. And it can be done at a technical college or at a, you know, at a regular junior college. And what is good is that when they go through this aptitude testing, they're sitting with a counselor. You're not forcing him to be academic because that's not who he is. But he may find that welding would be of interest to him or other areas of hands-on kind of work. He's not a desk person. However, I think if there could be an area, if it is the food industry, I don't think it is the food industry, but I do think that if there is an area that he finds that he has an interest with, that he could become an apprentice in. Let's say there would be an opportunity to do leather tooling or maybe blacksmithing or, you know, there's so many different jobs that can be done that he would really enjoy, that give him the variety that he needs that he would have to get certification in. Now, he would have to go to school and get those qualifications, but it would enable him to make a very good living and have a very good life in the way and manner that he would enjoy.
It's funny that you said welding. Actually, yesterday we spent the morning at one of the technical colleges.
Good.
And he did take the test.
Good.
And he needs to do a little better on the test, but he does want to go in for welding.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at a particular manufacturing show. This is about 2 years ago. And a primary company, I believe it was Hewlett-Packard, was
okay.
Begging for welders. They could not find good welders. Most of the good welders came from shipbuilding facilities, and they came out of the military. So to have people that are qualified like this, man alive, this young son of yours can, he will just do fabulously. But what is required is qualifying. So if he has an interest, then he can be under the tutorage and in an apprenticeship program. You're going to see him doing beautifully. And it, I'll tell you what, blue collar jobs, we've got an interview that's going to be coming up. In fact, it's going to be on the 30th of this month. Mm-hmm. And the guy, Joe, that I'm going to be interviewing, if you can, listen in on that program. And I think you'll find a lot of good information because there's a lot of people that are not college. They're not college material. It doesn't mean they're dumb. It doesn't mean they're stupid. They just don't want to be in academia. And that's mm-hmm. perfectly all right. We need people in all walks of life.
Correct.
And they can make a very, very good living. So welding, if he's interested in that, he's going to have to know his math. He's going to have to do a lot of things. So this is the time. Get him excited. Get all the materials on welding and whatever you can from the library. Check out magazines, whatever you can find. Go on the internet. I mean, there's underwater welding. There's all kinds of things that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of skill to do it and do it well.
That's true.
So don't worry about him. Support him.
Okay.
Support him. And just know that with the right kind of education and training, he is going to do just fabulously. And he'll have a sense of pride about himself and what he does. It will last for his entire life. Jennifer, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Donna.
You're more than welcome. Have a wonderful evening. This
you
is
too.
Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life presents us challenges so that we can stretch ourselves and find out about that inner greatness within. I challenge you to be willing to explore the risk. You might have adventures you never dreamed possible. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.